is back in a big way. Melbourne's back in a big way.
It's wonderful.
It's great.
This is exactly what tennis needs.
The greatest athlete of all time.
Tops at the net.
Puts it away. Under the net. Brilliant for Tsitsipas.
Brings Medvedev in. And Medvedev slams it back.
Barty, brilliant.
Scurrying to get there. Zag up the line for another winner.
The great champion is through.
Djokovic, yes!
What an amazing piece of sporting theatre.
Hi, I'm John Hoovenaars, and welcome to a brand new season of The AO Show. On today's episode, the countdown is on. Tournament director Craig Tiley previews Australian Open 2022.
If you can get to the tennis, get here, because the precinct, the site's going to be magnificent. The entertainment's going to be off the charts. It'll be the biggest thing in January in the world, on earth.
Vax or no vax? Is Djokovic returning to Melbourne to defend his AO crown?
I hope he is. I mean, it's the tournament that he's played so well at, won it 9 times. I think to bypass it, that may change the course of history.
And local hero Dylan Alcott reflects on his golden year.
I was down 4-3 at the Paralympics in the third set, and I started smiling. And even my team was like, you're about to lose. What are you smiling about? I was like, well, this is what I dreamed of, to be here in this moment, to have this opportunity.
That's coming up on the all-new AO Show.
What's going to be here in January, I think, will blow your mind. It will be a great sign that our city and our state is back, and we look forward to inviting the world's best tennis players to play in the world's best tennis tournament in the world's best tennis stadium. Let the Australian Open roll on.
Martin Pakula there, Minister for Tourism, Sport and Major Events, helping launch Australian Open 2022 on Saturday. Tickets for the event are selling at a record rate, with 56 days until the main draw begins in Melbourne. It will be Australia's biggest summer of tennis, with some 17 events slated for a bumper 4-week period of competition in January. I spoke to the Australian Open Tournament Director at Saturday's kickoff event. Craig Tiley, a great day and a great launch.
It was fantastic to be out here and just announce what's coming up for 2022. And there's such a long list of things. I felt like we were talking forever, but it's just exciting, you know, having full capacity crowds in January and launching the beginning of the year with all intents and purposes, it'll be a normal Australian Open.
What is going to be the highlight for you? What's the thing that you go to bed at night dreaming about?
I've always said, as I said to the team, the highlight's going to be seeing the winner holding the trophy, both on the women and the men's side, the final weekend, because, you know, then we would have achieved it. Because there's going to be lots of ups and downs and swings and roundabouts and lots of challenges between now and then. But not something that the team is completely used to, and they've handled it extremely well. And I think that, we're going to have a summer that's going to have all the best players here. Everyone's going to be vaccinated. It's going to be safe. Long-term weather forecast looks good. And we're going to have plenty of great matches. So I think the highlight for me is going to be getting that finished.
And everything looks like it's trending in the right direction in regards to players. And I know the entry hasn't opened yet, but all the indications are that you'll have a pretty good field here.
Yeah, by the time we get to the middle of December, we'll have a really good field and a really good indication of who's in the field. Because the entries would have closed. And then we know we can then announce specifically who's playing what tournament, who's playing where. And that's going to give our fans a really clear indication of where they can go and see some great tennis. So I think there's still a lot of speculation around, you know, who's vaccinated, who's not. But I believe every tennis player, well, everyone that wants to come here has to be vaccinated. But I believe that pretty much all of them will be vaccinated.
Especially interesting given the Roger Rafa Novak 2020 at the moment. It adds a certain level of intrigue to Novak's availability for this tournament.
Well, it does. There's a lot of signs out there that create extra pressures. And one of them is that, the 20 slams for all three. The other is Novak, every year wins this round, he has a great year. And it's important to get that start. And he's defending a lot of points. And he doesn't want that gap to be changed. He wants to remain number one for as long as he can and win as many Grand Slams as long as he can. So I hope he gets here, because he's a great champion, won it 9 times. And we're helping him understand what the requirement is to play.
And you mentioned also in the launch earlier about how interesting the women's draw is, because we've got some established champions who've won here before or won elsewhere on the major scene, and then we've got these newcomers that are contending for the first time.
Yeah, there's always a transition. You know, we've enjoyed 15 years of these established champions, more even, you know, Serena and Venus and on the women's side, and Maria Sharapova has obviously just recently retired, and then on the men's side, you know, Roger and Rafa. And so, but the gap between those greats and the young players is now closed, and that's why you saw someone like Emma Raducanu beat Leila Fernandez at the finals of the US Open. And these were two names many people never knew about, but 2019, Leila Fernandez, I think, was in the finals of the AO Juniors. So it's going to be really exciting, both draws, men and women. But I think particularly on the women's side, I think it's going to be very open. But I mean, we can never discount the number one player in the world, and we would love, Australians love nothing more for her to be playing that final match on the final weekend, and we hope Ash gets there.
And finally, a message to tennis fans listening on the AO show around Australia and around the world.
Well, the message is, if you can get to the tennis, get here, because the precinct, the site's going to be magnificent. The entertainment's going to be off the charts. I think there'll be a lot of people out. It's going to be a safe place to be. Everyone be vaccinated. It'll probably be the only community in the world where every event, where every single person, added staff, players, and fans are all fully vaccinated. And it'll be safe for that reason. And so we're excited about launching that and showcasing it, and it'll be the biggest thing in January in the world on Earth, and so we are. If not, there will be some great ways to watch it, and we'll make sure we bring the entertainment live, so you feel like you're sitting in your home experiencing the exact same thing, because there's going to be so much activity.
5 weeks till Christmas, and I think it's about 9 to the Open, but all the best with the preparations for both of those things.
Yeah, thanks, John. I think the team have done a great job. Very proud of the work that they've done, and they're all going to deserve a long break at the end of this.
A brand new 5,000-seat stadium and a new dining precinct will be unveiled to the public at Australian Open 2022, completing a 10-year redevelopment of Melbourne Park. Ticket holders will also have access to the spectacular new AO Beach House, which will bring the ambience of the Australian beach right to the doorstep of Melbourne Park. I caught up with Todd Woodbridge, who's looking forward to seeing the precinct reinvigorated. Todd, first of all, great to see a big summer of events coming for the Australian tennis summer.
Yeah, it certainly is. I think for me, the most exciting thing is the fact that the Australian Open is at full capacity, 100% crowds, everybody's allowed back in, no restrictions. And I think that's going to be one of the most exciting things. When you look back at how well we did to get the tournament done in 2021 with zones, limited numbers in those zones, and then a 5-day lockdown, we still got the tournament done somehow. We still had amazing tennis. But this brings different energy. And one of the things that clearly we missed, and I missed it as a commentator, was crowd and the difference a crowd makes to a match, the momentum changes that they can help bring and change to, you know, a tight 5-setter or a 3-setter for the women. So that will be what I'm most looking forward to.
Player vaccination rates progressing really well, I think up to about 80% now for the entire both tours. Encouraging to see that number trending north as we get closer to January.
Well, that was the big thing out of today, was that the state government said it is a requirement that you must be fully vaxxed to come. So I know the communications from Tennis Australia to the tours has been very, very consistent, and that the playing group knew that this was probably coming, but today confirmed that. I think for all Victorians and most of Australians, they'll think that that's a good decision. I think with the numbers that Craig Tiley put out there today, that we're getting closer to 80 and above 80% of all tours being fully vaccinated, that's a good thing. It's for their own safety, for their team safety, for the amount of travel that they're going to be doing and have been doing. So, look, the Australian Open has set that mark, and I don't think we will be the last that actually does that throughout the tennis season, because as we've seen in the last 24-48 hours or so, Austria is, you know, going into lockdown. They are mandating that everybody must be fully vaxxed in their country. So I think we're going to see a lot of those changes. And so I think any player, it would be wise to make that decision, because I think it's going to make their scheduling hard if they don't.
Novak Djokovic keeping his cards close to his chest, as is his prerogative. What's your read on where he is at regarding vaccination and whether he'll be here in January?
Well, I hope he's here. I'm not quite sure, is he or isn't he? He's going to have to say that in the next couple of weeks when the entry lists come out and whether he'd be on it or not. So it'll be probably pretty short time before we find out. I hope he is. I mean, it's the tournament that he's played so well at, won it 9 times. It's the one he's been able to cruise at. So I think to bypass it, that may change the course of history. You only get these opportunities and moments in time. And, he had that chance to win a Grand Slam last year, fell at that final hurdle in an extraordinary year. But that changes his mentality. The locker room start to believe they can win. If you miss an Aussie Open, that's another opportunity gone. And how many more do you get? You just never know. So I think there'll be a lot of eyes on him to see what he says. My hope is that we do get to see him.
Well, so far, no player has declined an invitation formally, and entry will take place over the next few weeks into December. Well, as we sit here in the Rod Laver Arena player pod overlooking the site, it's a very different looking Melbourne Park in 2022.
Yeah, I mean, it's a precinct that is now fully finished. I think over the last decade or so, we've had so many, builds here, whether it be upgrades to Margaret Court Arena, to John Cain Arena. We've now got the brand new 5,000-seat stadium done. Our convention centre area is done. We've got new media and broadcast facilities, and it is just going to be perfect, I think. And I think one of the things for people coming too is that our footprint for crowds, there's so much more space. So there's not that feeling of being, tightly pushed into a very small space. And I think that will be great for the tournament. And look, we know what 2019 was like when we had record crowds. We probably won't get back to record crowds, but we'll be able to have all of the entertainment that goes with it and all the tennis back out on court. And I think it's just going to be, I know personally for me, it's going to be a highlight because it's been a long road to get to this point.
And I don't know about you, Todd, but you interested in checking out the new AO Beach House on the northern side of the precinct?
I'm not much of a sunbaker or beach volleyballer, and I'm pretty sure I'll be quite busy during the AO in the commentary booth. But that's one of the unique things, that we always do something that a little different down here, whether it be from rock climbing to concert series to what we do with our food offerings as well. I think that will go down well. I mean, look, if you can't get down to St Kilda, you may as well come to the tennis and sit on the beach and watch the tennis on a big screen. Couldn't be better, could it?
AO22 marks 100 years of women champions and will see the inaugural winner, Margaret Molesworth, inducted into the Australian Tennis Hall of Fame alongside three-time champion Joan Hartigan. In celebration of the centenary, the women's semi-finals will both be played during the night session of the second Thursday in prime time. This means that both men's semis will be played on the second Friday rather than split across two consecutive nights. And record crowds are expected to watch hometown hero Dylan Alcott, who's gunning for his 8th consecutive Australian Open title. The quad wheelchair legend hoping for a fairy tale ending to his tennis career after recently announcing this would be his last event. Todd Woodbridge caught up with him at Saturday's launch.
Dylan, you announced your retirement, but you didn't really retire. It's a little bit of a John Farnham.
Yeah, I call myself the wheelchair John Farnham.
Yeah.
So I mean, I couldn't retire at the US Open, to be honest. It's not my home. I live close to here. I grew up playing on these courts, and it means a lot to me. I love Victoria. I love Melbourne. I love Australia so much. And I'm really excited. And I think, Australia deserves a party. Melbourne definitely deserves a party. And I mean, we've got a beach now, so I'll be sunbaking when I'm done, that's for sure. So, it's going to be such an incredible event. And I think people don't actually genuinely understand how much Craig and Tennis Australia and the Australian Open cares about us as players, but also cares about the community. You know, we talk about the awesome work in the women's leadership space, the LGBTQI community. As someone with a disability, every single person on site who works here is doing access and inclusion training so people with disability can come to the Australian Open and feel included. We're a part of that, you know, my company and foundation and things like that. But it's so special. Like, it's such a beautiful bloody place. I love it so much, and I'm really excited about what it's going to show in 2022 with the full stadium. Like, last year was great, but for having half a week with no one here, it's just different, so it's going to be special.
And Dylan just asked me if I was going to be interviewing him, and there's two people in sport that you interview, Roger Federer and Dylan Alcott, and you just stand there and they start talking and they answer 8 questions of their own. Which is brilliant. We love that. I want to touch just briefly on the year. A Golden Slam is incredibly difficult to do because throughout that you have to stay healthy. You had to travel in difficult circumstances. And then you get to the tournament at that US Open, which you had trouble with. Yet you couldn't finish that one off the year before. How did you get past that mental hurdle?
It's a great question. That's why you're the best in the business. It was hard. I probably underestimated. I knew it would be hard, but like the actual mental toll on yourself to never have a bad day was brutal. Mm-hmm. And that pressure, it was really funny. I had a chance to win the Calendar Slam in 2019. All I talked about is how much I wanted to win it. I wanted to be like Rod Laver. I love Rod Laver. He's like my hero. And then what did I do? I choked. Like, I put too much pressure on myself. And I remember I was at the Paralympics and a journalist said, "Dylan, mate, you have the weight of the nation on your shoulders. How you feeling?" And I laughed. And I said, "I think Australia will survive if I lose." Right? I'm pretty sure Todd, you'd still talk to me. Craig, I hope we'd still be friends. You know, like my girlfriend would still love me. My life would go on. And I genuinely believe that. Right? It took a while to get to that spot, but tennis is a massive part of my life, but it is just a part of my life. So you know what? Who else this year had the opportunity to win a Golden Slam? Like, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. So I reminded myself that. And I was down 4-3 at the Paralympics in the third set against the next big thing. His name's Niels. He's a beautiful guy. He's a legend. And he wants to rip my head off on the court, right? And, like, I started laughing and I started smiling. And even my team was like, "You're about to lose. What are you smiling about?" I was like, "Well, this is what I dreamed of, to be here in this moment, to have this opportunity." And I genuinely reminded myself that, and it worked. It worked, and, you know, I worked really hard on that. I worked with a guy called Ben Crowe, same as Ash. You know, we have a great team around us and things like that. And, mate, what an opportunity, and I'm glad I didn't choke. And, you know, I said I don't care. I said I would survive, but I'm glad I did it. It was bloody good. So it was good.
All right, one last one. The summer is ahead. You've only got 8 weeks or so till it gets going, and I talked about mentally having to stay strong. Mentally, you have to stay strong now to get through this piece of training. What's it all going to look like for you till the end of the summer?
Yeah, it's been really a relief to get it out publicly, because now I've got something to really strive towards, which is train my ass off and make sure I don't let everyone down, you know, and do the best I can. And like, I'm going to training at 10:01, and it is 9:58, you know what I mean? Like, I'm keen and I'm really excited, and I'm going to do absolutely everything that I can in my power to make everybody proud and go out with a bang. But win, lose or draw, I'm just going to enjoy it. Like, this is my home. It means so much to me. The Australian Open changed my life. Tennis saved my life. Like, without tennis, I'm not here right now, potentially at all, right? And I mean that. And I'm forever grateful for the opportunity that I've had, for Craig to, you know, back me and put us on centre, and from the wide world of sports to put us on TV. Like, it's life-changing. And hopefully it's life-changing for not just me, a lot of people with disability, especially young kids with disabilities. People ask me what's my favourite moment at the Australian Open, and it was seeing 500 kids on Rod Laver Arena watching wheelchair tennis. I'd never seen that many kids with disability in one spot. That means more to me than winning the trophy, and I genuinely mean that. So I'm really excited, and I'm looking forward to the absolutely awesome opportunity that all of us deserve here in Melbourne, because it's been tough. I'm really looking forward to going out with a bang.
Well, we wish you the best of luck. We know you're going to go out strong. I remember a piece that we did in our bloopers that we did in a program, and I called you an inspirator. I still think you're an inspirator.
Thank you, mate.
Yeah.
I appreciate
it. We had to do it again, but the, how you inspire, how you motivate is wonderful, and you drive all of us in tennis to do it better. So good luck, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, and big shout out to everybody to get this up, to the government, to the team at TA, to everybody. It's, I know how hard it's been for everyone, even though I'm a very, 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 very small cog in it. So congrats to everyone, and it's going to be a bloody awesome time. So looking forward to it.
Good on you, mate.
Well, that's all for episode one. Join us again in a few weeks as we reveal more details for AO22 and the Australian Summer Series. In the meantime, make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you like what you hear, please rate and review so more fans can enjoy the AO show.